This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, it is Christmas Eve.
It is, and we are here.
We're here. Glad to be here as well.
Yeah.
Glad you are here, too. And we're going to do some lighter things today because it is Christmas Eve. So Luke Mather's joining us at 10:33, right after the 10:30 news. We're going to talk about the Packers' big win last night.
And the Jets, and huge and loss this weekend.
And the Jets, oh yeah, and there's other AR-related news floating around out there as well. We're also going to talk with Luke about his family traditions. And then after 11 o'clock, we would like to know about yours.
Yes.
What are your family traditions for either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Something you always do, a movie you always watch, a food you have to have.
It doesn't have to be huge.
No.
It could be literally like what my family does, pizza.
You do Christmas pizza Eve. On Christmas Eve?
Yep. Every year.
I like that.
Since I was a little boy. So those are the simple traditions.
Exactly. So we will kick that around after 11 o'clock. At 11:33, we're going to do our Christmas cookie exchange.
Which, yeah, we are.
Which has a slight twist today. Yeah, someone forgot something. But we'll get around to that a little bit later on.
I just saw Calvin's eyebrow go up like, excuse me?
What? Yeah, there's a little wrinkle in the Christmas cookie exchange.
Okay.
And we're also going to talk about the ranking of favorite holiday treats.
Yes.
So we would love you to weigh in on that as well. And as we always do, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Do You Know Why I Pulled You Over edition. It's a holiday-related This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Jane, we're coming in tomorrow, right?
We are not going to be here tomorrow.
What?
We are off tomorrow for Christmas Day.
I thought we were going to be here tomorrow. I had jingle bells and I had so much stuff planned for our show.
You can come in if you want.
But you're not going to be here. Calvin's not going to be here.
No, and as a matter of fact, we are kicking off special programming.
Okay.
So at 4 o'clock today, Pete Schwabe, the host of Nightlight, which usually runs from 6 to 8, Pete's going to have a special Christmas Eve special from 4 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And then at 6 o'clock, we are turning to all Christmas music.
Yeah.
All through tomorrow, through all of Christmas Day. So keep Civic Media with you, whatever you're doing. We'll have some great classic holiday tunes. That starts tonight at 6 o'clock. So don't freak out tomorrow if you're in the kitchen doing whatever and you turn on the radio and you're hearing Holly Jolly Christmas.
I will be responding to the text messages, though.
You will?
If people are like, hey, why are you playing Christmas music? I can't hear Jane and Greg or Earl. I'll be like, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We're off. So, yes, Christmas music starts tonight at 6 p.m. and will run through, I believe, midnight until tomorrow night. So join us for that. And happy holidays. And be safe, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
This was not a good start to the morning, at least for folks who were flying on American Airlines. This has been since rectified, but the FAA earlier this morning issued a nationwide ground stop for all American Airlines flights because of a technical issue affecting flights. The FAA said they issued the ground stop at American's request on, of course, one of the busiest travel days of the year. Fortunately, it got resolved in about an hour.
And also, when you go flying on Christmas Eve, I feel like you build in
snafus.
Yeah, like you should like buffer your expectations. Like they can happen, they probably will. And an hour in Christmas Eve travel time, nothing. That's nothing.
I have never I don't think I've ever traveled on Christmas Eve.
Not on Christmas. I've traveled for Christmas. We went to Los Angeles one year by the way. Totally suggest it. Everyone should go to Los Angeles
for Christmas?
Yes, for one time. Just go one time. It's amazing.
Really?
You wake up on the 23rd or the 24th, it's 74 degrees outside. One of the best features about Christmas in Los Angeles is that that's mostly a very transient town. So like 2 million people leave.
Oh, wow.
So the traffic lightens. It just feels like less people.
I had never considered that. Mm-hmm. And I've only been out there once.
Yeah.
And that was enough.
Oh, I love Los Angeles.
You do.
I love visiting Los Angeles, but I think that everyone should spend Christmas in Los Angeles one time.
One time.
Just to try it out.
Well, go maybe a couple days before Christmas Eve.
That's what we did. Exactly.
Just to make sure you get out there on time. But again, everything is back up and running for American Airlines, and I hope everyone gets to their destination safely. That would have been unfortunate if this turned into an hours long.
Oh my gosh.
That would screw things up probably even into tomorrow.
If they were still waiting there right now.
Yeah. No. Happy flying.
Yeah.
Something else that popped up this morning from WISN. Milwaukee considers snowplow fee refund for inadequate snow removal. Alderman Peter Burgelis, Alderwoman Charlene Moore, Alderman Robert Bauman, and Alderwoman Andrea Pratt suggesting this after they got dozens of complaints from their constituents reporting unsafe road conditions after we got that snow on December 20th. So yeah. The city of Milwaukee got about 4 inches. I live in the city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't great.
No, and honestly, like, but you live out more in the suburbs area where the streets are a little wider.
Yes, yes.
Whenever I think of snow removal in Milwaukee, I think of like the east side and River West, and I'm thinking to myself, how far back are those refund fees going to go? Because
the east side gets, it's such a nightmare down
there.
They
turned into one-ways.
Yeah, they really do, because the streets are so narrow.
Yeah.
The release said that major roads were clear, but many neighborhood streets weren't salted or plowed.
Jeez.
And one of the aldermen says the snowplow fee added up to more than $11 million last year.
What?
These neighborhoods all pay the same property tax as everyone else does, and they pay the same municipal services snowplow fee, but they don't get that quality of service. Robert Bauman also said uncollected leaf piles, new traffic calming measures, and a drop-off in enforcement of winter parking rules has also led to the snow pickup problems. The leaves were a big issue.
Yeah, I remember you were saying that as well, too.
I'm pretty sure that they didn't pick up the final piles until they had to move that snow, because it snowed right on top of them. And my husband had suggested once, because they like to come around and pick up the leaves on Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
And he said to me about a month ago when he was out there blowing leaves again for the 10th time. He said, why do they do this on Saturdays before everyone is done blowing their leaves? He said, why don't, you know, come on Monday.
Yeah.
After the weekend, after everybody's done doing their yard work,
mm-hmm.
would make more sense.
Your suggestions and your problems don't matter. A tinker's cuss to someone working for the city.
Apparently not. I think there are a variety of issues that need to be addressed, said Robert Bauman, but this was a minor snowfall. But seriously, 4 inches isn't that much.
No.
To have the level of complaints that we had coming forward in various districts is a bad sign, and we would like to nip it in the bud. If you live in the city of Milwaukee, we'd love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Did they plow your streets?
Yeah.
Again, we're on like 76th and Center.
Yeah.
Around that area, we're right on the border of Wauwatosa.
It's literally like you can throw a ball into Tosa.
My neighbor to the south is in Wauwatosa.
Yeah.
On the same block.
Very, very weird.
Which makes no sense. But there were some streets in our neighborhood that really, it's like they plowed one strip.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It's very odd how Milwaukee just seems to be befuddled every single winter season. Like they've never seen snow before. Racine does an amazing job. They are like, I mean, at least when I worked there,
yeah.
It was a crack team. Like that big winter we had in either 2012 or 2011, that February 48 inches of snow, every main street was plowed within the first day. Every arterial street was plowed within the first 24 hours.
That's impressive.
Milwaukee, they're like, we'll get to it.
Eventually.
We got leaves to pick up, though.
Yeah, they were a little behind on the leaves. We want to make sure we get this right. Says another older person, we want to make sure that we're having the correct protocols in place so we can make sure that our residents are safe.
Mm-hmm.
DPW says we look forward to a productive dialogue on this at the January 8th Public Works Committee meeting. And I have a lot of sympathy for snowplow drivers. I think they have a really tough job because you tick off, no matter what you do, you're going to tick somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You make a pass.
It's not good enough.
Well, or it's not good enough, or it's a pass where then you plow back in the car that the people just dug out.
That's something I have very little sympathy for people. Like, when it starts snowing, then you got to either you got to be ready to start digging your car out,
right,
or just accept what's about to happen when you're parking on the street.
Well, I think a lot of people have taken up a fatalistic attitude. It's like it is what it is.
Yep, that's one thing I don't miss, and I feel very, very fortunate to have a garage and a driveway. And
that's a gift.
That is a wonderful, wonderful gift.
It is a wonderful gift not to have to park on the street.
I will say I do get angry when you get done shoveling, especially down
the really hard, crunchy stuff.
The hard, crunchy stuff at the very end of the driveway that leads into the street.
Yeah.
And they just, and it's 8 inches up again. You're like, well, I'm driving over it now.
When, before I got married, I had a little house in New Berlin. The driveway was really long.
Ooh.
A really long driveway. Yeah. And that was before I had a little snowblower. And one year, again, it was like we would get 7 inches of snow every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you would just finish.
Yeah.
And it was getting to the point where I couldn't barely throw it over the piles.
Yeah.
And I got down to the end of the driveway and the plow came and plowed me back in. And I actually started crying.
I'm not coming into work
today. Standing
at the
end of my driveway going, I can't take it. I can't do it anymore. And then, I don't know, I think I must have got a little snowblower at that point. And just also, too, in Madison, Madison Starbucks workers at 4 union stores have joined a national strike.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So you're going to have to go someplace else for your peppermint mocha. It's affecting 4 different Starbucks in Madison. We'll include this in the show notes if you want to know where these are. Otherwise, go to the Cap Times. You can find it in the Cap Times. And this is expected to go through Tuesday.
Dang.
Yep. So there's a strike underway at some Starbucks around the country, but now there are 4 shops in Madison that are doing that as well. All right. Stay with us when we return. This is an interesting way to bust drug dealers.
It's festive.
It's festive. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
My bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Happy Christmas Eve day. We're doing a lighter show today.
Yeah, indeed.
Lighten things up a little bit.
Keep it a little fun.
Yep. Luke Mathers will be here after the 10:30 news. We're going to talk about last night's Packers game. Woo, that was a game. Also, there's some news from Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh,
So we'll kick that around a little bit. We'll talk to Luke about the Mathers family Christmas traditions.
Yeah.
And then we would love to hear from you after 11 o'clock about what your family's traditions are, either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a certain food, or maybe you watch a particular movie.
Or maybe you make a ton of sausages.
Yeah, like Joseph Pecky, who was on yesterday. They did that over the weekend.
Yeah.
That was the weekend.
Still,
the weekend before Christmas, I know. A whole assembly line of sausage making. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, I saw this story this morning and just wanted to share it from NBC News. The headline reads, "Meet the Grinch Who Stole Christmas from Alleged Drug Dealers."
Yay.
Footage supplied by Peru's National Police Agency show the Grinch, complete with a Santa jacket, running down a street in southern Lima with a sledgehammer over his shoulder. Nothing says Christmas like Grinch with a sledge.
Christmas, Christmas, whack, whack, whack.
A Peruvian police officer dressed as the Grinch led a police operation in the Peruvian capital of Lima to dismantle a drug trafficking gang. Footage supplied by the police agency shows the Grinch in a Santa jacket running down a street with a sledgehammer. He reaches a house, smashes on the door with the hammer. Other members of law enforcement arrive, and they raid a building of alleged drug dealers, one of them shouting police before cuffing one of the suspects. The identity of the officer dressed as the Grinch has not been released. This is apparently a thing in Peru. They on Valentine's Day earlier this year, an undercover cop in a teddy bear costume showed up at the home of another alleged drug dealer, delivering a fake love surprise.
Oh, gross.
You can fill in that blank however you want.
When asked for comment, the drug dealers were like, "Man, these drugs are really good. I saw the Grinch, man. I saw a big green guy trying to hiccup on me."
Peruvian agents have also dressed up as superheroes and horror movie characters like Freddy Krueger and Jason. With the Grinch leading the way, Peru's criminals apparently now know who's in charge. That was there.
I mean, it really upsets me, though. The Grinch wasn't like, "I'm here, I'm here. I am the Grinch to bust you. I'm the Grinch." Like, I don't know why my Grinch started rapping, but I haven't read a Dr. Seuss novel in a while.
I think seeing a Grinch running down the street with a sledgehammer over his shoulder would be very concerning.
If you live there, you see they're like, "Oh, it must be Christmas time."
Right. We'll include this article in the show notes just so you can see the picture, because they took more pictures of the Grinch cuffing people.
Yes.
On the floor. It's okay.
Even if I'm getting busted for drugs, if I'm next to the Grinch, I'm still going to be like a big smile like, "Oh, you got me. Yeah, you got me."
You do you, Peru. Also, in case you have grandchildren or children yourself, the Santa tracking has begun.
Yes.
NORAD is underway. The North American Aerospace Defense Command is based, I believe, in Colorado Springs. Yep. They have a phone number. If you have a little one who would like to, find out where Santa is, it's 877-446-6723. You can actually call NORAD. They've been doing this since 1958.
Yeah, and I believe Google's on top of this too. You can Google "Where's Santa"
and get an interactive map.
Yeah.
Also, if you just go to noradsanta.org, that's the website, so you can see the Santa tracker. NORAD tracks Santa, but only Santa knows his route, of course. So they cannot 100% predict where he will be and when he will be at your house. But tell the kids and the grandkids, we do, however, know from history that Santa appears only after children are asleep. You got to go to sleep.
This is amazing.
In most countries, Santa arrives between 9 p.m. and midnight on the 24th. If the kids are still awake when Santa flies over, then he has to go on to other houses and then come back later when the kids are asleep.
And that can place you on the naughty list, let me tell you. You don't go to
bed.
You
don't want that.
You don't leave those milk and cookies out and those carrots for the reindeer. Santa, he'll go bust some drug dealers down in South America.
Dressed as himself.
And he dresses himself, and he will use the rage of his authority to bring justice to our world.
It's a pretty cool Santa tracker.
It looks really cool.
It really does. When I checked it about an hour ago, he was approaching Indonesia.
He is right now Burmistrovo, Russia.
Okay.
And it's just great. And then what's cool is that when it goes over certain countries, you click the little camera icon, it'll come up with the country and like a little Wikipedia page, so you can find out about the countries.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What a great, useful tool.
Yeah. Well, I love it.
Check it out. NORADSanta.org. NORAD Santa.org. And there's all kinds of stuff on there about the history of why they track him and how this started and how old Santa is. It's hard to know for sure, but NORAD intelligence indicates that Santa is at least 16 centuries old.
And I get upset when I have to go up and down stairs too many times in a day.
Think about all those chimneys, man. Goodness. All those chimneys. Yeah. All those steps.
He's all those kids he's getting.
He's making happy. Millions and millions and millions of kids. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, our friend and colleague Luke Mathers will be here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, but I'm busted. I went to my brother to ask for a loan, cause I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog without his bone, but I'm busted. My brother said there ain't a thing I can do. My wife and my kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking about calling on you, and I'm busted. Well, I am no thief, but a man can go wrong when he's busted. The food that we canned the last summer is gone, and I'm busted. The cotton won't grow. Me and my family got to pack up and go. But I'll make a living just where I don't know, cause I'm busted. I'm broke.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Happy Christmas Eve. We're lightening things up for the show today as we head into Christmas. And I want to make sure that we have that we do this and congratulate our grand prize winners from our latest statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest.
Huh? Yeah, you did it.
I know.
Good job.
Chris picked up a snowblower. Evelyn picked up a robot vacuum. Angie picked up an espresso machine. Michelle got herself a humidifier. Rosemary got a robot vacuum. And by the way, Rosemary did say that she has two cats. And
yes,
she's going to give us, she will provide pictures of us, of the cats riding the robot vacuum. Anne picked up an espresso machine. Dan picked up a set of luggage. And we're still trying to contact one other grand prize winner. But thanks to everyone who entered. It was a lot of fun. Todd Alva Show, they beat us again. They beat us again.
I'm going to say this. They got more votes than we did. To say they beat us, there's a certain sense of like, you know, beat the stuffing out of us. We were right on their tails. Right on. Look at me in the camera, Todd Alva, right now. Right on your tail.
Well, we'll give it another shot next time. We'll be chasing that Todd Alva Show.
Yeah.
But thanks to everyone who entered. We really had a good time with that. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague Luke Mathers is here wearing his Santa hat. Good morning, sir. You're looking good.
I'm trying.
I like it.
I'm trying to be as festive as I can.
I like it. Like it a lot. We're going to talk to you in just a little bit about Mathers family Christmas traditions. And then after 11 o'clock, we'd love to hear from all of you about what your traditions are. Mm-hmm. What do you eat on Christmas Eve? Is there a special thing? Christmas Day, maybe there's a movie. Maybe there's, you know, I don't know. We want to know what your Christmas traditions are.
Yeah.
But first, Luke, we wanted to talk to you about the Packers smoking the Saints last night, 34-0. Wow.
Yeah, It was a heck of a game. The fact that that would not be the case of right on the tail, the Saints being the Packers. Unlike the very, very close contest that the two of you had between the Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba show. This was a blowout from start to finish.
Well, and I know that the Saints were missing a couple of their key players, right? So obviously they were going in with a deficit to start with.
Yeah, they had a backup quarterback who was rookie, drafted in the fifth round. Their all-star running back, Alvin Kamara, out as well. A number of their wide receiver options. So they were a depleted force for sure, but the Packers took care of business regardless.
That poor rookie quarterback. I mean, come on. Ow.
Yeah. Definitely throw it into the deep end on that one. Not the case that... having a good go of it. I believe only his like third or fourth start as well.
And his name is Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. That's,
I think he got a little rattled.
And that's kind of what I was thinking too.
Rattler got rattled.
Yeah. Rattler got rattled. That's going to chase him. I think, unfortunately, the offense scored on 5 of Jordan Love's 7 drives and the defense blanked an opponent for the first time since 2021.
And the first NFL shutout of the season. There had yet to be an NFL team that scored 0 points so far this season. The Saints, unfortunate for them to be the first ones to do that.
I just figured it would have been the Jets that would have scored no points at some point during this season. But, you know, what am I to say? Who am I to judge? I got second place in a vote contest. I don't know anything. I don't know nothing.
He just wants to mention again what the Jets' record is because this brings him great joy.
4-11. Boom.
Yeah. Devontae Adams, though, still helping me win in fantasy because he got a touchdown this weekend. So I'm happy with that. I just want success for Devontae Adams. He and he alone.
I want nothing but pain and loserdom for them. I want them to lose so bad that they like all just hand Aaron Rodgers a packed bag. And like the Jets thing is covered with a sticker, and they're just like, goodbye.
You can go now.
We can do better without you.
That might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I actually saw a quote from him saying that he might be willing to work with a rookie quarterback and act as his mentor, which I don't buy that for one second.
Since when does
he was very against that when Jordan Love came to Green Bay. So it'll be interesting to see if that's truly the case or if he's kind of just saying that because he knows he's going to be more on the hot seat, either whether he returns to New York next year or another team is silly enough to pick him up.
Yeah. Do you really think he could get picked up by somebody else?
We've seen a lot of veteran quarterbacks go like a long time, probably past when they should, because they want to keep playing. They saw Tom Brady do this really, really tremendous thing. Like nobody was able to play as long as Tom Brady did. And I think since it's so recent in a lot of these other older quarterbacks' minds, they're like,
I could do that too.
Yeah.
He did it. I could do it. And I don't know, maybe the ayahuasca is speaking or something and he thinks that he can go one more season. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's the darkness, if it's the ayahuasca or what it might be.
He is. Go on. I'm sorry.
There might be some kind of higher power that will tell Aaron Rodgers what his next step is. That's all.
I was going to say he's just immunized for victory. That's what he is. He's immunized for victory.
Nice.
And he has that kind of chutzpah and that kind of hubris that he probably thinks I can do this. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a team out there who will pay. I mean, his price tag will go down.
He even said, he said he would take a cut in pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to.
All things he has to say now because he went to New York and there were talks of Super Bowl chasing, ring chasing, and New York did better last year while he was injured than they're doing this year with him starting. And so it's one of those things where he's got to change his tune because it looks all signs are pointing to the Packers front office making the right decision when it came to what they did with the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers saga, because a lot of people a lot of people were mad right away saying, what are you doing? Why are we like, we need to win now. This is, we shouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round. We should be giving Rodgers weapons. And he was on back-to-back MVP seasons for a second there, but there is only so much you can do before Father Time kicks in. And Packers front office saw talent in Jordan Love. He's clearly put it on display the last season and this season. And it's going to be interesting to see how far the Packers can go now that they've clinched another playoff spot.
If you're just joining us, Luke Mathers, our friend and colleague, is here. We're talking about the Packers smoking of the New Orleans Saints last night, 34-0.
I know I'm going to ask everyone to embrace a hypothetical here, but you say Father Time, but what if there's another world where Aaron Rodgers isn't worried about vaccination hoaxes and being on Pat McAfee and being the guy who shows up to training camp to work with the new ones? Who is Aaron Rodgers if we see him in a version that he should be like in embracing his age, embracing new talent, embracing and understanding that he has a limited amount of time? Yes, Father Time is always chasing you. But I really feel like it's his overall attitude in the past 5 years that have really been his downfall.
Absolutely.
It's really affected who he is as a person, because we don't talk about Aaron Rodgers as far as his playing ability that much anymore. Or if you do, you then have to talk about his super poor attitude. The fact that he cleared the decks of the major front office of the Jets, and wondering if the Jets regret that decision at all, and more sense regret hitting him. Like, it's not, I don't think it's a lack of talent. I still think he has talent. It's just, he's not a great person to work with. And he's just, ugh.
Yeah, and that, I think if you look at it the other way too, it just shows how much talent will allow you to put up with some of those other things.
Yeah,
because I think Aaron Rodgers is who Aaron Rodgers has always been.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's the MVP quarterback, there people let things slide and they put up with things that maybe you wouldn't for somebody else. And now I think some of those chickens are coming home to roost, because he doesn't necessarily have the MVP skills anymore. He's still got a heck of a football IQ. Like, the man still knows football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his inability to kind of put that ego aside, like there's a handful of freak plays that throughout his career as a Green Bay Packer, and his injury in the first like four or five snaps as a New York Jet, like things could have gone drastically different. He could have three or four Super Bowls if it weren't for like a Brandon Bostic fumble on that onside kick that all of a sudden Seattle went back to the Super Bowl instead of the Packers. If it wasn't for just a fluke field goal that the 49ers had against the Packers in the playoffs that took away victory from us there too. Like, there are multiple Super Bowl appearances in this alternate universe you're talking about, Greg. And I don't know if it necessarily would have changed his attitude or his outcome. But it is definitely one of those things where I think his skill on the football fields just glossed over a lot of the problems that he's had. And now it is a different world for him, where he's got to start changing his tune, saying, hey, I'll take a pay cut. Hey, I'll work with the rookies.
Yeah.
I'll do these things that he previously kind of put his nose up to and just said, nah, I'm gonna do me, and I'm gonna take care of what I'm gonna take care of. And it's not working anymore for him.
I think it'd be more comforting if I knew that he actually did want to work with him. And the way he's approaching it now is more of, I guess I'll do it.
It's this kind of grudging, oh, okay, if I have to. Yeah exactly. No. Well, and going back to what you said about when people freaked up, everybody was freaking out when they went with Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers. That happened with Brett Favre, too. I remember that so clearly. Oh my gosh, we're getting rid of Brett Favre. The war, mm-hmm. The sky is falling, and the world is ending. And oh, you know, and all I remember hearing about was Aaron Rodgers' history of injuries when he was playing college ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it, I don't know. I mean, it turned out okay for a while.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that Aaron Rodgers from that injury, that first few years, especially that leads us through the Super Bowl, he is, and I'm gonna say clean cut, but he's a good-looking guy. He's smiling. He's having fun with his teammates. He's the State Farm guy. He does other commercials.
Discount double check.
Exactly. Like he's got the thing that he does on the field. Mm-hmm. He presented this image of just like fun guy and just here we go. And then I remember seeing an interview on 60 Minutes with his teammates where they said they made fun of him. Like they cracked some jokes about him.
Yeah.
And he saw that interview and he got really mad at them. Yeah. So like when I saw that, I'm like, oh, so this guy doesn't have a sense of humor about himself. He puts up a facade, but
he's really not that jovial,
no,
fun to be around kind of guy. Yeah. I
talk about a sense of humor. You got Jordan Love now embracing the joke. Have you guys seen the memes about the Toyota-thon?
No.
Oh, one of the greatest things so all the Packers social media accounts are kind of joking for the stat breakdown that Jordan Love has. Like Matt LaFleur, as a Packers head coach, is excellent in December. But last year and this year, Jordan Love is doing really, really well when it comes to late November, mm-hmm, throughout December football. And so now the joke is that he is pretty much the MVP during Toyota-thon. And so like there's all these memes that are going on and it's like, one of the most unstoppable forces in the NFL is Jordan Love during Toyota-thon. And he posted a picture of him in a Toyota-thon Christmas sweater this week. And so it is, it is very comical. And like Jordan Love is just leaning in and just going with the joke. And it's really fun to see this young, exciting, fun team go out and take care of business. And I'm really hoping that they can get some revenge against the Vikings this upcoming weekend and then finish strong against the Bears in the final week of the season.
By the way, speaking of Sunday's game, they flexed it to 3:25. So the Packers game now against the Vikings will be at 3:25 on Sunday. Luke Mathers is with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a message from Lynn in Oconomowoc. A very Merry Christmas and other holiday wishes to you all. Same back at you, Lynn. Hope you and yours have a lovely, lovely Christmas. Luke Mathers is here, our friend and colleague, and we're doing lighter things today because it is Christmas Eve. We'll be back on Monday to go delve deeply into dark things. But today we're going to do it a little bit differently. Next hour, we would love to hear about your Christmas family traditions, what it is that you do around the holidays that just makes it the holidays. At after the 11:30 news, we're going to do our cookie exchange, which has a slight wrinkle in it. We'll explain what happened. Yeah, after the 11:30 news. And then there's the ranking of the holiday treats. So we'd love you to take part in that as well. Don't forget to special Nightlight tonight from Pete Schwabe from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, we are switching to all Christmas music, and that will go through tomorrow. So keep us with you in the background while you're opening your presents and drinking your nog and whatever it is that you're doing. Starting tonight at 6 o'clock, all Christmas music through Christmas Day. Luke Mathers is here. And I wanted to ask you, Luke, about some of the Mathers family traditions on the holidays. So what's going to happen tonight for Christmas Eve?
So tonight for Christmas Eve, we're in a little bit of a new rebirth phase of the Christmas traditions. Christmas Eve was always a holiday spent with my mom's extended family at my grandma's, but she passed away a few years ago now. So it's been kind of a little bit of an experiment trying to see what works. I've got pretty much all of my siblings were all grown and out of the house. And the last thing my parents want to do is host every single year.
Seriously.
So we've been kind of doing, it's
a lot.
Not necessarily. Yeah. And so we do a little bit of a round robin. So we take turns hosting Christmas Eve now. But this year, last weekend, went down to Lake Geneva and got like a little villa together and spent some time down there.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. That was great.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
My sister is taking the kids down to Florida this year today. They're like jumping on a plane now. So we wanted to spend some time together as the full Mathers family. We got a chance to do that last weekend. And now we're going to be hosting my parents tonight for some dinner. Kelsey and I are going to be braising some short ribs, so getting the Christmas tradition kind of through great food and just still spending time together. So my little brother will be joining us. And really, one of our favorite Christmas traditions that we've established, Kelsey and I, as a relatively newlywed couple and new homeowners, is we like to go and cut down our Christmas tree.
Oh, so, you do?
Yeah. Every year on Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, we go up to a tree farm not too far from here in Dane County. North side of Dane County, I think we're technically I forget what county is, but wherever Ryle, Wisconsin, whatever county it falls in, we go to a nice little Christmas tree farm there. We take the dogs with us.
But they love that. Tree.
Yeah. Well, this was the first year for Aurora, so it was a little...
she a little hectic. Frantic?
Not frantic because of the tree, but frantic because people kind of are just roaming wherever through all of the trees. Mm. And so she didn't necessarily always see the people come in. And when all of a sudden another family just appeared through the tree farm, she was losing her mind a little bit, barking. But overall, very positive experience. Remy always loves it. We pick out our tree, we cut it down, we bring it home, and we like to that weekend after Thanksgiving, get the chance to put up the tree, decorate the tree. And really, that's been our strongest Mathers Christmas tradition to date so far. But we always like spending time with family. We were just in the Quad Cities seeing some of Kelsey's extended family. We'll get a chance to do a lot of family tomorrow as well and later today. But that's the most important thing, is getting time to spend with loved ones. Yep. And just whether it's good food, if it's some great cookies, some card games are always involved with the Mathers. So it can be cribbage, sheep's head, euchre was played.
Oh.
A lot of good card games.
It's a very Wisconsin Christmas.
That very much so. Yeah. So you're a sheep's head family.
Oh, yes. Yes. My mom's side of the family for sure. But my dad's side, too. We all like to play. We even if we don't have five, we will suck it up and play three or four handed as well. So it's a little bit tougher, but five is the perfect number when it comes to sheep's head.
Yeah,
that's a game I was never able to master.
I'm not going to go out there and brag that I've mastered it, Jane. It's one of those things where it takes an evening to learn, maybe two evenings to learn, and then a lifetime to master.
Calvin, do you play sheep's head?
No, I play euchre, though.
Oh, you play euchre.
I'm a cribbage guy. I like cribbage the best.
Cribbage, I can cribbage.
Yeah.
But
cribbage is great. I taught a new Kelsey's uncle had never learned, but he brought a board and he wanted to learn this weekend. So we got a chance to teach a cribbage newbie as well. So,
I bet you'd be a really good teacher.
I don't know about really good, but I try. I try to do what I can.
A bit better than my former father-in-law who turned me off of Pinochle within like the first 20 minutes because he wouldn't stop yelling at me.
My dad's strategy is the best way to learn is to let the person beat you so the newbie wins and then they want to keep playing because they won.
That's a good strategy.
And that's what we did this weekend.
Merry Christmas, Luke Mathers, to you and Kelsey and the entire Mathers family. Thank you so much for joining us. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
We're here tonight. Oh, that's enough. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.